on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbor!
It's showtime!
Edmonds, the running back, back to throw. Tua looking, flips it downfield, wide open! Touchdown, Tyreek Hill! Unbelievable!
He beat him by 7 or 8 yards. Just flew by him for a second time.
Flacco takes the shotgun snap and drops. Looks up the seam, fires, caught! Touchdown! Garrett Wilson scores! The Jets are a point after away from taking the lead with 22 seconds to go.
And holding it at the mesh point. Ray took it wide. Trey's down.
Yep.
Trey's on his back as he took the handoff there. And Trey
Jordan Willis hit him, and it's not good. He tried to get up, and then immediately you could see by his body language there is an issue, and he went straight back down to his back. The trainer's working on him now.
They got Debo and Warner right, Jennings and Ayuk left. Jennings goes in motion right. Jimmy going to sneak it off the left side. Touchdown, San Francisco! 49ers are going to beat the Seattle Seahawks today.
Goes to the left. That's intercepted into the 35. Outside the numbers to the 40. To the 35, to the 30. To the 25, to the 20. To the 15, 10. Mike Edwards, touchdown Tampa Bay. That's the dagger, my friend. 4 takeaways by the Bucs. And Tampa Bay gets a pick 6.
Maher from 50 for the win. With 3 seconds showing. Snap, hold, kick from 50. Maher!
He's got the ball, quick throw left side, Renfro with a catch, and he breaks one tackle. Then the ball comes out, it's loose, and it's picked up by the Cardinals in midfield. It's picked up by Byron Murphy at the 40, at the 30, at the 20, at the 10. Full game! Byron Murphy picks up the ball, and midfield returns it for a touchdown, and the Cardinals win. No flags! What an unbelievable finish here in Vegas!
Good morning, Kansas City. Welcome to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Nate Buchady. I am home today as I am slightly under the weather, and so Todd Lebo is in studio with us on 38. Despite you get to see that beautiful, handsome man who is glowing after his Oklahoma Sooners just put it on the rudderless Nebraska Cornhuskers this weekend. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Doing great. What an amazing day of football yesterday on top of a crazy day of football on Saturday. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed a football Sunday without having to worry about the Chiefs, right? They won on Thursday. You just get to sit back and enjoy Red Zone and watch the games. Amazing. The product is unbelievable. There aren't many weeks in a year where it disappoints. I mean, there are some, right? But they always get a few games that just are awesome. And it was great fun yesterday just watching games and not really caring. I mean, you know, you care. You'd like to see the Raiders lose, and they did, right? You'd like to see the Broncos lose, and they almost did. You know?
They tried.
They did their best to lose. I know we were texting about it last night. That it's early in Nathaniel Hackett's coaching career. But it doesn't seem like they've got it all figured out yet. But I don't remember, you know, we weren't watching Andy Reid's first 2 games as a coach because he was in Philadelphia and we didn't really care. It takes a while to get that experience. But it was a very fun weekend for me to watch football because, as you mentioned, Oklahoma won. Kansas won. K-State, Tulane. I thought Chris Klieman was Brandon Staley going for fourth down all the time.
Man.
Missouri got a win. It's fine, you know. Take the wins. It wasn't all that pretty. So it was great fun. Sporting, another one. They just seemed to not want to lose anymore. My brother, I know you were calling the game. My brother texted me, and he said, it'd be nice if they won these games earlier. I said, well, it'd be nice if they had a guy scoring all the goals earlier. They've only been on the team for 5 weeks or something.
I mean, this ability to make the playoffs for Sporting literally came down, it seems, to how long it took them to get their P1 visas. I mean, literally, they get their P1 visas 2 weeks earlier. They sat there for 3 weeks or whatever it was waiting for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the hottest team in MLS right now since the month of August started. So for the last almost 2 months now, but they officially got eliminated from the playoffs. And it is, hey, you got to play well the whole season. It took them a while to get those guys in. Once they got them, I'll tell you what, nobody in the West would want to play them, that's for sure. But we'll talk about that a little bit maybe. Also, the KC Current played to a 1-1 draw. That was a fascinating game yesterday. And they're in third place, I believe, now. But it's like a one-point difference between first and third in NWSL as well. So, yeah, it was a big, big weekend.
Was there anything fascinating about the Royals this weekend?
You know, I had their game on one of my TVs yesterday. I saw Nate Eaton make a really nice play.
That's about it.
The
fascinating thing about them is who's going to keep their job at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's what people are writing about them, like the article by Rustin Dodd in The Athletic about overhauling pitching. I saw a tweet from Jeffrey Flanagan.
Flanagan was on one last night. He was going to go, yeah.
Yeah, saying that there's going to be changes, but they're not going to be as big of changes as everybody wants them to be. And all the fans were getting mad at that. Young fans don't understand what Tate and Moore did, and young fans were getting mad back and all that stuff. That was far more interesting than anything was happening on the field with the Royals. So let's get to football. But first, let me lay out the menu for the show today. Coming up on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB, and of course the first hour on 38 The Spot. At 7 o'clock, we're going to talk about the most surprising story of college football so far. Is that the way to describe Kansas?
He's probably the most pleasant surprise for people wanting someone to win. There are some surprising things with some teams that don't look good.
Yeah, we'll call those disappointing.
Yes, this is a pleasant surprise for many people. Very pleasant for my gambling account with the over 2.5 already done. It's barely September. Cashed that already. I got an actual physical ticket in my pocket from Las Vegas as well. When I was out in Las Vegas, and I told Coach Leipold that at our 100-year celebration, I said, I got a ticket in here for the over. And he said, our job is to make that a much harder over in years to come.
Well, you know what? I'm 3-0 on the Jayhawks on DraftKings this year. And for the past 10 years, anytime, and I've never gambled really because I just, you know, that's not my thing.
Well, it wasn't legal, Nate, and you would not do something illegal.
Some people seem to find a way to do it. And when they would ask me, hey, what do you think Kansas is getting a lot of points this week? Every time I'd say, you're crazy to bet Kansas, no matter what the number is. You're crazy. You can't bet them. I mean, they'll find a way to lose by more. And so it's not like it's a homer thing with me, but I watched them play all last year, and I realized two things. They got a coach, and they got a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were getting so many points all three games this year. Well, the first game, you know, there was a no-name opponent that they were given points, but it wasn't that many. And then the last two games, they've been given so many points. I wasn't that confident that Kansas was going to win either of these two games. I thought they had a chance in both of them. But I was confident they were going to be in the game because I saw what they had last year, which the two things we always talk about. They got a coach. They got a quarterback. And the thing is now the lines are going to be a lot harder to bet on Kansas because now everybody's starting to pay attention. And I saw what are they like? They're a favorite. They're like a solid favorite against a good Duke team. What looks to be good, a team
undefeated.
A Duke team that beat Rutgers 30-0, whatever Rutgers is. They beat them 30-0, and KU's a solid favorite in that one. So that's like, you know, once everybody adjusts a little bit, then all of a sudden it becomes a lot harder, like Lance Leipold said. So at 7 o'clock, we're going to talk with Brandon McAnderson, the sideline reporter and pregame host of the Kansas Jayhawk Radio Network, which I don't know if you know, Todd, we are the home of the Jayhawks in Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB. And I was listening to their pregame show when I was on my way out to the sporting game on Saturday, and it was bringing back all kinds of memories because, you know, that used to be my job. I did that for 11 years, the sidelines for KU football. In fact, when Brandon McAnderson was playing, I was the sideline and pre- and post-game guy for KU.
Yeah, you didn't want to be on the sidelines Saturday when the rain and hail were coming down.
Oh, man. Yeah, we'll talk to Brandon
about that.
We'll talk to Dr. B-Mac about that. Obviously, they got him off the field, but the hail, not while the hail was coming in. It was just when the lightning struck that they got him off the field. Everybody's putting pizza boxes over their heads and all that stuff during the game. But the Jayhawks got another win, so we'll talk with him. They're 3-0, and they're playing Duke. All of a sudden, Kansas versus Duke is an interesting football game coming up this weekend. Adam Teicher will join us at 8:05. We'll talk Chiefs, a game that we thought was going to be a really good game, and who knows, maybe it still will be, but it certainly doesn't look like it after the performances of these two teams early in the season. Chiefs versus Colts. Colts look terrible, absolutely terrible. We'll talk with Adam Teicher about all that. We will tell you about an exclusive opportunity to get a commemorative 50-year anniversary Arrowhead football at 8:30, and then Bill Moss will join us to talk NFL at 9:05 as well. All right, Todd, before we go college, let's start pro, because like you said, yesterday was another great day in the NFL, and it was a day that has me with my to-do list today ready to make a phone call to change my internet and streaming provider, because with all the Bally Sports stuff a couple years ago, I switched over to AT&T DirecTV Stream because I wanted to make sure I could get the Royals games. I wanted to make sure that I could get the Sporting Kansas City games, and their package included all that. At the time I did it, I failed to fully consider whether or not I could get Red Zone.
Oof.
And a lot of times on Sundays, I'm so busy running around, taking kids to soccer games, doing housework, all those other things, that I miss Red Zone, but I've always got a game on, you know, and I can still get the Chiefs, and then I can watch Sunday Night Football. Yesterday, I was under the weather, so I sat at home in my basement. Wife wouldn't let me come upstairs, and I got my three TV set up down there, and I was stuck watching some bad games while other incredible games were going on all over the place. And some commercials came up for other streaming options that'll get you Red Zone.
Right.
And I thought, well, that like, I can't just put that off anymore. That has to happen, because let's see what I was watching. I was watching the Broncos versus Texans game. Now, I will tell you this. Great comedy. Great comedy. It was not good football. But watching Nathaniel Hackett and his team be baffled by the play clock.
New rule.
Be baffled by situations such as when it's 3rd and 14, should we be ready to have a punt returner go out on the field on the next play or not? They literally had to call a timeout because they didn't have a punt returner on the field on 4th and 14. So that was good comedy, but there were all these other great games going on. Amazing comeback by the Dolphins and all that stuff. And then the other game I was stuck watching earlier in the day was New England and Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
And New Orleans and Tampa. And both those games were terrible. I mean, just but now
they were close. I mean, eventually. Like, they just weren't thrilling. They weren't exciting until the fourth quarter when they got a little close.
What they've found ways to be entertaining. That's what you got to give the NFL. Such a great product. They find ways even in the bad games. So in the Saints-Bucks game, you got Tom Brady, MF, and everybody on the field, which is good entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. He was mad at all of his teammates. He was throwing things. He was cussing people out. And then you had Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore assaulting one another on the field.
Didn't it look like that all started because Bruce Arians, who is no longer the head coach but is like a senior director of football operations, was lipping with someone? this dude is not the coach anymore of the Bucks, but he's on the sideline. He's got no headset, got no nothing. And he was jawing at someone. That's what it looked like it started it all.
Yeah, I mean, look, Evans and Lattimore have hated each other and fought each other for years now.
Sure. It's one of the rivalries. You know, these guys face each other,
They were looking for an excuse, Evans and Lattimore, to go at it. Evans was looking for an excuse to get a shot off at Lattimore in that game, too, because he was frustrated. And, you know, Brady was going down the field whining at the ref about a PI call. Lattimore was telling him to shut up and get off the field. And that's when Evans went after him. The best part was afterwards, when they were throwing Evans out of the game, he said to the ref, "That's Tom Brady. What am I supposed to do?" You know, you guys are supposed to protect Tom Brady. I'm not supposed to protect Tom Brady.
I damn well better protect Tom Brady. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. But yeah, it is worth the price of whatever.
Oh, man.
It just absolutely is.
And you just can't get it if you have the streaming package I have. You think you can, like, buy it on your phone. But I tried last year to do that, and it won't let you screen mirror up to your TV, so you can just watch it on your phone. And I don't know. I just need to switch my cable provider, because luckily those other games, they did switch over to the Raiders-Cardinals game at the end.
Finally.
Because it was, it was in over. I got to switch over to that game right as Kyler Murray was converting the two-point conversion.
Yes, but here my biggest takeaway. Second two-point conversion. It was two of them. Yeah, it was insane.
So, all right, so my three biggest takeaways from the NFL. We'll take a break. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk about college football as well coming up. But obviously there were comebacks all over the league. That was great to see. Watching these games I was stuck watching really makes you appreciate the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that sometimes, and there are teams in the league that do it this way, looks like the Dolphins might be one of those teams this year. When they go on stretches where they're hot offensively, it looks like the kind of football that the NFL ownership wants to see almost anymore, which is scores are common and stops are rare. And so when you get a stop, you have to celebrate it big time because the offenses are just so far ahead of the defense. And when you watch the Chiefs, you can feel that that's the way it is. You watch a lot of these other teams, man. They do not look anywhere near as efficient, as explosive, as dynamic as the Chiefs' offense. So it makes you really appreciate the Chiefs, and also all the comedies of errors that I saw, from Tom Brady cussing people out in the first game to the Denver Broncos fans literally counting down the play clock out loud to their team because they kept getting delay of game penalties and other mismanaged situations. So even in the night game, in the Green Bay Packers game, the Packers go win that game but kept the Bears in it because of things like their young wide receiver getting hit while he was going in motion by a shotgun snap. The Chiefs, do they make mistakes? Everybody makes mistakes. But nobody else in the league seems to be, like, ready for the season the way the Chiefs are. So those are my big takeaways. And then also, remember how good the AFC West was supposed to be?
Mm.
The Raiders are 0-2. The Broncos looked terrible. They found a way to feel terrible about a win at home yesterday, and of course the Chiefs got their win against the Chargers. Meanwhile, AFC East went undefeated yesterday. So we'll see if the AFC West is really as good as we thought it was. We'll take a break. We'll talk more about all of it as we continue on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. It was a relatively uninteresting weekend in college football when it comes to the highly ranked teams. The top nine teams in the country absolutely blew out their inferior opponents, and to me, there's nothing really compelling or interesting about those games. Nebraska should be a legitimate opponent, but they're not right now, so Oklahoma destroyed them. Meanwhile, though, here in the region, it was really compelling. So my question for you, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
The more surprising result on Saturday, Kansas beating Houston at Houston 48-30, or K-State losing at home to Tulane 17-10.
Oh, boy. That is like both very surprising, I guess. I'm not super surprised that Kansas won. When they got down 14-0, I was a little bit surprised that they won that easily. But I had watched Houston because of gambling reasons this year, and I was not impressed with Houston. I mean, they were top 25 to start the year, and they had all they wanted with UTSA. And they had scheduled that one on the road. They had two straight road games. And they, you know, they went to overtime and lost to Tech. And by the way, Tech's not very good, okay? So I guess I'm not as surprised there. So I would say slightly by a nose, more surprised that Kansas State lost this game. And that is pretty amazing to say, because not being surprised that Kansas goes on the road and wins a game, which they had not done in forever and now have done a couple of times, right? And
yeah.
This year, and three of their last four road games, maybe, they've won.
Yeah.
Because they went to Texas last year late and won. So the Kansas State game, to me, very surprising that they lost. I you know, you don't be surprised that Willie Fritz and Tulane, who are a good team with a veteran quarterback, can come in and battle you. But to lose the game, that I think was slightly more surprising to me.
It was far more surprising to me. And now, look, if you had asked me before the season started, I might have said Kansas winning at Houston is more surprising. I thought K-State was going to be good this year, but after they just kind of blew out Missouri, I was talking last week, hey, K-State, they're going to be contender for the Big 12 title. And maybe they still will, by the way. This doesn't count in the conference standings, so we'll see what kind of adjustments K-State makes going forward. But I was thinking of K-State, it's one of the top teams in the Big 12. I didn't even really consider that Tulane was going to have a chance in that game. And I know, like you said, Willie Fritz, he was actually one of the guys that we talked about Kansas should have hired. He's a good coach, and they got a solid team. But the way K-State seemed to be rolling at the time, I just didn't really consider it. So let's start there, because the big takeaways in this one, I mean, it was a rough go for K-State offensively. I don't think I didn't anticipate Deuce Vaughn getting slowed down the way that he did in this game at any point all season long. And we're talking about what K-State has in Adrian Martinez. First of all, K-State goes 5 of 20. I think it was 4 of 20 on third/fourth down and short situations. They went for it 5 times on fourth down. They made it just once. They were like 3 of 15, I think it was, on third downs. So they couldn't convert, you know, in these short yardage situations all game. But Adrian Martinez goes 21 of 31 for just 150 yards and one touchdown. That's an average per attempt of 4.8 yards. He is not throwing the ball downfield. He is not taking any chances. He's heard all the chatter about, yeah, he made plays at Nebraska, but he made mistakes that killed him. And at K-State, he doesn't need to make those mistakes. So Chris Klieman, after the game, said maybe he's overcorrected a little bit going the other direction.
And what advice would you have to Adrian to maybe be just a little bit more aggressive in some situations?
Yeah,
out there?
We got to get him to cut it loose, without question. We got to get him to cut it loose and be free. And if he makes a mistake, he makes a mistake.
He has to do that, because it wasn't just this game. The previous game, it was rainy against Mizzou, right? It was a crappy day. But he had, in that one, I believe, 100 yards on 20 attempts, so that's 5 yards. Their first game, the one that they won easily, and it was a little different kind of game, he was 11 for 15 for 53 yards. 53 yards on 15 attempts. You know, that's not even 4 yards per attempt. So it's been very kind of little dink and dunk stuff. And here's the deal with Deuce Vaughn. I mean, you can scheme up any running back in the world if your quarterback's not going to throw the ball down the field and beat you.
Right, right.
And he's
put everybody in the box.
He's,
you know,
fantastic. Yeah. But he is not going to run for like 6 or 7 yards a carry if your quarterback can't throw the ball for a completion past a couple of yards. I mean, he's just not going to. And then if you don't have that, and this, I don't know, the story is not written on Kansas State season or Adrian Martinez or whatever. But when everyone, I like Coach Klieman. I like a lot of what they're doing. But my big fear was for them is you're putting your eggs in Adrian Martinez's basket. You have years of what Adrian Martinez is from watching Nebraska. And I know people all laughed when Casey Thompson threw an interception in Ireland. Oh, see, it's Scott Frost. It's not Adrian Martinez. But no, it's some of both, right? Adrian Martinez, and we know we don't criticize college players the way we criticize pro players, but anymore we probably should because they are getting paid now. You know, there's things happening. So, you know, none of that, oh, he's just an amateur, whatever. Adrian Martinez is probably not good enough to be playing starting quarterback at K-State. I said a month and a half ago, the best thing for K-State is if Adrian Martinez is not the best quarterback on their team. And I'm not talking about for this year. I'm talking about for their program. Because if this Jake Rubley, who was a four-star recruit, TJ Rubley's kid, guy played in the league for a while, the old Tulsa quarterback, if Adrian Martinez is better than Jake Rubley, that's not good for Kansas State in the next couple of years. They need someone better than Adrian Martinez to be quarterback because Adrian Martinez just played for 4 years at Nebraska and never went to a bowl game, you know? So that was my thing. And he has not shown it to me yet. And they got a real problem on their hands on Saturday night because they're going to Norman on Saturday. And in Oklahoma, they don't – while Dylan Gabriel's fine, this is not Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield or Jalen Hurts. He's a very good college quarterback who came with a track record, by the way, of throwing for like 7,000 yards or something at UCF and throwing a bunch of touchdowns. You know, fine, right? But Oklahoma is playing some like legitimate defense right now, and they look like they know what they're doing coaching defense. And that – I'll be surprised if Kansas State goes down and Deuce Vaughn is running wide open like he did against Alex Grinch's defenses with Lincoln Riley there, you know? So this is not looking good for K-State right here. Now, maybe I'll be wrong. You know, maybe I'll be wrong and Adrian Martinez will go down. He'll be great and they'll scheme up some stuff because I have seen Kansas State scheme up really good stuff against people. But it doesn't look like they can scheme it up right now with this guy quarterback.
What kind of adjustments can they make? Chris Kleiman says he's got to cut it loose. There's no question about it. If he makes a mistake, he makes a mistake. So they're trying to get back, get him back to being the quarterback that he's been in the past. But right now, I don't think there's any debate that of the three schools we cover predominantly here, the University of Kansas has the best quarterback right now.
Oh, by far.
We'll talk about his performance on Saturday in Houston and more as we continue on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
You can see how proud they are, so how happy they are. You know, we're talking about having a chance, you know, going these games, like say, stop hoping to win and find a way to win and get games in the fourth quarter. You can see when things are starting to swing momentum-wise for us. We're handling it well on both sides. When things aren't going our way, I see some resiliency in this group. And when we do get ahead, now we'd like to, instead of kicking field goals, you know, wish we'd have a chance to punch a couple more in. But all in all, you know, again, proud of them. And again, the biggest thing is how are we going to handle it, you know? You know, there's still a lot of season to be played. We're only 25% through it. Another non-conference game next week, but I'm really excited for these guys. I'm excited that we have some games at home. I sure hope people and our fans come out and check these guys out because, you know, they're playing with some inspiration. They're playing well, and you know, we need to create a great home field advantage.
There's Lance Leipold, the head coach of maybe the best feel-good story in college football if you're not a, you know, an anti-KU person, if you're just a random person out there in the country.
You're not a hater? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, I mean,
it's
if you're
college.
A K-State or Missouri fan, you probably don't love seeing KU win. But
why we love college, because you get to love your team and hate another. That's what it is.
Yeah, but if you live in Alabama – you're not worried about Kansas, and you go, hey, look at the Jayhawks. I haven't paid attention to them in 10 years.
15,
you know?
I don't know.
Oh, that's kind of cute. Look at them. That's what the Jayhawks are right now. But around here, we talked about it. It's how you said without question, because I asked a question last week when Nick Leckie was in, who's got the best quarterback? And I felt like at the time, I think Jalen Daniels is starting to show he's the best quarterback. I think after this weekend, you said without question. Look at his numbers for the season now. He's 47 for 70. He's completing 67% of his passes. 8.1 yards per attempt. By the way, this game in Houston, 6.9 yards per attempt. And an offense of the Kansas Jayhawks that is converting 69% of their third down conversions.
Are you kidding me?
On the year.
You're making that up?
Yes, sir.
I'm not making it up. I round it up. It's like 68.7%.
You got to round that up. That's just math. That's quick maths.
He's got 7 touchdowns and 1 interception. And obviously the running part is a huge part of his game. He's run for 237 yards, 8.8 yards per attempt on the ground, and 3 touchdowns there. So he's thrown for 7. He's run for 3. They're a run-first type team with a bunch of different running backs, and obviously the quarterback being a threat in the running game is something that, look, we've seen K-State do that for a long time. And as long as you can keep your quarterback on his feet, and sometimes that's a big challenge, keeping him healthy if he's going to run that much, you can have a whole lot of success with it. The thing that stands out to me, Todd, about this Kansas team, these two games that they've pulled off, they showed a couple more things. Like, we're going to keep learning about them every week. This time it was, how do you handle success, right? How do you handle being the kid on campus that's actually proud to walk to class and hear from all your classmates about how great you are, as opposed to, hope nobody watched the game last weekend.
Right, yeah.
You know,
football sweatshirt on here.
Yeah. How do you handle feeling good about yourself and all that stuff? And the other thing is back-to-back road games, and not an easy travel schedule going to Morgantown and then going to Houston. Right.
And I honestly think, man, just the crappy weather and the delay, they handled that great, too. I mean, that's good stuff because, you know, we've seen plenty of that. I mean, the K-State Missouri game was messed up with weather. Iowa, Nevada got finished at 1:45, apparently, in the morning on Saturday night. And this was there was an hour plus delay in the middle of the game down in Houston, and they handled that. They came out after, and they didn't miss a beat. They had taken control of the game before the rain delayed, and then they kept it up. That's coaching and leadership and all that stuff.
They had just taken control of the game, like you said. They were driving to score, and immediately you're wondering, okay, are they going to lose that momentum when they come out? They punch it right into the end zone. They continue to roll. This Kansas team, what stands out to me is, these wins they've gotten are not some sort of fluky upset where they blocked a kick and got a touchdown and maybe the other team gave them a pick six and spotted them a lead and then they found a way to manage it out for a win. They're going out and beating these teams with a really, really good offense and then a defense that's been good enough to make a few plays, right? Like, their defense doesn't look great or dominant or anything like that. But they're getting pressure on the quarterback. They got a big sack, strip fumble. They I think they had 4 sacks in the game against Houston. They got a pick. And it seems to be their formula of, let's say, our offense is going to score points. We stay in the game. We're going to move the ball. We're going to score points. Make some plays on defense. And they got a chance to win. Obviously, there's going to be more and more tests. Another one's coming up this weekend for Kansas against Duke. But it doesn't feel super fluky. What Kansas has done through the first 3 games, they look like they were the better team in these games that they've won.
Yeah, it started last year. The Texas win will be something. It's kind of like a signpost along the way that they won that game, and then they didn't win any more games, but they played well the next 2 weeks, and that was pretty good for a team that wasn't very good last decade. Okay, but they didn't just win that, because that was kind of a fluky game down in Texas, but they won it.
Yes.
And then the next couple of weeks they fought hard and they didn't win, and they carried that momentum through. And what maybe one of the coolest things I thought this year, listen, they've won 3 games, but when going out and kicking the crap out of Tennessee Tech was not something we'd seen from Kansas football. I mean, they had some tight ones against some of these lesser teams. And right then you're like, okay, all right, this is what you're supposed to do in these games. And they followed up coming from behind twice on the road, which is, that's coaching, that's spirit, that's belief, that's all those things. And I want to see what it's going to be like out here in Lawrence on Saturday. It's an early kick, 11 a.m. I'm sure there's tickets available. You heard Coach say that, you know, want people to start paying attention to this. It'd be nice to see. I think the weather's going to be beautiful. We got a fall Saturday coming up. The 90 degree weather is going to be gone by Saturday. Marco tells me it's family weekend. He's a Jayhawk. He should know these things. Yep. I'd like to see a really nice crowd out there against Duke, because Duke is a Power 5 team that's 3-0, and they shut Temple out, I think, right? And they beat Northwestern, who beat Nebraska, right? So this is a legitimate football game here, and I would love to see people take notice, because I think this team deserves people to take notice of them, honestly. I really do.
I think that, every Kansas fan I talk to seems to be taking notice. Now, does that translate to buying tickets and going to the game? I hope it does. I think there's going to be obviously a much bigger crowd for this game than there was for that Tennessee Tech game. But remember when Steven was kind of ribbing me after that Tennessee Tech game, talking about overconfident KU fans, right?
They're there now.
I said at the time, look, man, I don't know how good this Kansas team is going to be. I wasn't going to go out and predict they were going to make a bowl game this year, but that Tennessee Tech game, you watched it, and I watched the whole thing, and when I did the sidelines for KU, I saw some pretty darn good football teams, and I saw some terrible football teams. The way they beat that Tennessee Tech team is not the way that terrible football teams go and beat a bad opponent. They systematically throttled that team. And it was obvious that they were a well-coached team with some guys that can play. We haven't talked enough about their offensive line, by the way. It's done a really good job so far this year. So he said, well, like, what, you think you can go to West Virginia and make that a game? And I was like, yeah. I didn't necessarily know they were going to win, and that was obviously a game that could have gone either way, and we went to overtime. But I think they can go give them a game. And now, look, can they give Oklahoma a game? Time will tell. I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself or anything like that, but can this team make a bowl game now?
Absolutely. You're 3-0.
Right.
You're 3-0. I mean,
so if that makes this game a really big game, by the way.
If you're 3-0 after three games, then you start dreaming about making a bowl game. That's what you do. Because all you have to do now is go win three more games. And maybe just two, because there are enough bowl games now that some five-team wins get in, right? It happens if the thing falls right. But you can absolutely start thinking about that. But you can't start thinking about that. You can as a fan. As a player, you only think about Duke. As a coach, you only think about Duke. Because if you look 2 weeks down the road, you'll lose the one you got in front of you. And this is going to be a fun one. And they're a favorite over a Power 5 team for the first time since 2009.
I was on the sidelines for KU football with the Charlie Weiss-led Jayhawks that got throttled at Duke.
Yes.
And I took a tour of Cameron Indoor Arena the morning of the game.
And you said, this is just not quite Allen Field House. That's what you said.
That's what I said.
Why is this so small? It's so little.
Tiny.
Why is it tiny?
It was actually really cool. There was a historian there that apparently works there full time, and we were just kind of walking around the building, me and a few other Jayhawks that had gone on the trip. And this little gentleman came out and said, would you guys like a tour of the building? We're quite proud of it. And
how little was he?
Tell you about the history. I don't know. I don't remember how little he was. I remember the building was little.
Oh, yeah.
And it was cool. He told us the history of the place and showed us around. It was pretty cool. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get back into some NFL action. And, boy, Nathaniel Hackett, it's been a rough go for two games. And the Broncos got a win, but it wasn't pretty. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Yeah, that was something that we talked about in those situations beforehand. We decided we wanted to go for the kick, and then obviously we had to delay a game and decided to punt it because our defense was doing really well.
And then the crowd obviously frustrated at times, but can you just give me a sense of overall?
I don't blame them. I mean, heck, I mean, I was booing myself. I mean, I was getting very frustrated. I mean, get down to the red zone two times, don't get another touchdown, which is unbelievably frustrating. I don't think we've scored in there yet. And that's something that all of our guys got to step it up, whether we run the ball more, whatever we're doing, we just got to execute at a higher level.
You know, with the vitamin D, got a couple of couches, sleep on the love seat, so it keeps seeing.
Hey, Nathaniel Hackett's not a loser, Marco. The Broncos got a win 16-9 over the Houston Texans. Russell Wilson's Denver debut at home. He went 14 for 31, 219 yards, and a touchdown and a pick. Nathaniel Hackett was booing himself, Todd, on the you know what? That's a good answer, honestly. I mean, I'll give Nathaniel Hackett this. He's owning his mistakes, at least. That only gets you so far. If your team keeps doing things like they've done so far, and he keeps making terrible clock decision or clock management decisions and things like that, that people are going to get tired real quick of hearing, yeah, my bad. But at least early on, he's owning it instead of trying to pretend that everything went the way it was supposed to, which he did after the game initially in Seattle, but then at least the next day said, yeah, I might have messed that one up.
Yeah, might have. Yeah.
You know, the question I do have is, will all these teams that are making all these mistakes, or will some of these teams that are making all these mistakes early get them cleaned up and become better teams as time goes on? Because, you know, this Broncos team could be still dangerous later in the year if they figure some of these things out. Or he could lose his entire locker room because they're like, man, this guy, we are a joke, you know. And if he loses the locker room, then they're in trouble.
Yeah, and we can't make too many judgments too early on him, right? It's just two games into his career.
Yep.
And their defense has played well. I mean, that was they went in last Monday night to, I think, maybe the toughest regular season environment I've seen in recent history of the NFL. I mean, there was some real anger in the air, right? Because this is where Russell, you know, put the banner up, brought the Lombardi home, and now he's coming back in his first ever game for the other team. That was a very difficult situation, and they almost won that game. This was just a mess this last week. But let's not sleep on them yet. And just like, you know what, I mean, the Raiders should have won the game yesterday, and they fell apart. The Raiders are going to beat somebody this year because they have some talent. You know what I mean? I have said this constantly for 2 months. You want to watch every game when the AFC West is playing each other. These are going to be fun games. And I think I'm going to amend that and say watch any game that an AFC West team is playing in, no matter who they're playing.
No doubt about it. And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to play against a team that I think people thought was going to be a lot better than they were in the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, the South stinks, okay? I'll say that right now. The Colts are bad.
Who's good in the South?
Maybe Jacksonville might be the best team. I don't know.
Forever and ever, that's been a division where somebody's got to win.
Yeah, well, I'm curious about Tennessee tonight, right? They lost to the Giants. The Giants are 2-0 now. Let's see what Tennessee's got tonight. I don't think it's going to be great for them.
They play the Buffalo Bills.
You heard of them?
Yeah, heard of them.
Heard of them?
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll wrap things up on 38 The Spot right after this.